Today on Locked On Red Wings, Detroit breaks their six-game skid with a dominating performance against the Blackhawks.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I am a podcast producer for the Daily J, a WWJ news radio podcast. Well, Scotty's the host over at Locked On Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. And Scotty, the Red Wings finally snapped their six-game losing streak with a 4-3 win over the Chicago Blackhawks. And don't let the score fool you. They actually played really dang good the last 40 minutes of the game. It was pretty dominating for the final 40.
Yeah, I really do think dominant is the word. And, you know, this season has obviously had a lot of ups and downs, and there's a lot of emotions post-trade deadline and whatnot, but I think we can all agree it's always good to get a dub over Chicago, man.
It's always
good
to get it.
That's just good for the soul. It's a nice little cleanse. Nobody's going to be upset about that. Everybody that claims Red Wings fandom is going to be pleased with, honestly, again, I agree, dominant win. And, you know, not dominant in the score sheet. Yes, it was only a one-goal victory, but they were very clearly the better team for at least 40, if not maybe pushing like 45, 50 minutes of this hockey game.
Yeah, and let's not, you know, I want to be transparent, you know, objective. I understand that the first 20 was a lot closer than it should have been. I wouldn't say the Blackhawks like won the. I mean, they were left the period up 2-0, but the second goal was weak by Ville Husso, yeah, right. And I got to call that out. That was not right after Robbie Fabry got hurt too, which we got to talk about. And the first goal was a power play goal. So they're down 2-0 after the first, but it was still a close back and forth period. But from there, the Red Wings kind of just took over. So I know despite having to overcome two deficits and despite the fact that it was just a one goal win, I thought overall this team played a really good hockey game. And this is a team that they should have dominated on. Like, I know, again, only a 4-3 win, but on the shot sheet, every statistic across the board, the Red Wings dominated that game. And it's kind of like a, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. They finally got one. I thought for a while they weren't going to have this one, especially when they went down with about 10 minutes left in the third period. I was like, are they really going to lose this game? And I would have felt so bad for them. But they were able to pull it out. They were able to get the dub, and they deserve the dub in this one.
I completely agree. Yeah, and it's also nice. I understand that this is the Chicago Blackhawks, okay? Like, I understand that this is not a juggernaut of a team this season. This isn't a very good team. This isn't even a very average team. This is objectively one of the worst teams in the NHL. Totally understandable, but it's just, we've had so many games this season that have been like, oh, the Red Wings got outplayed, but like they won, and we've come on here and been like almost party poopers and been like, oh, well, like we won, that's great, but like, we got pretty much dominated for two periods or whatever. And then we've had games that we've outplayed the other team and we've lost. And it's just been such a weird year in that regard that I am just pleased, no matter the opponent, it's an NHL hockey team at the end of the day, and they were the better team and they won. And it was a little shaky there for a little bit,
yeah.
But they were the better hockey team and they won the hockey game. And for that, I am grateful and I am glad.
I mean, the Red Wings had, at the end of the game, they had 83.27% share of the expected goals for percentage and 67.86% of the Corsi for percentage at the end of the game. So that's, you know, quality shot attempts. They dominated, you know, totally. And then period by period, they had the edge, if not dominated every single period as well in each of those categories. So at 5-on-5, I mean, again, Chicago Blackhawks, you should, which is why it's good that they did dominate at 5-on-5. Like you said, Scotty, it's very much they won this game and they deserved to win this game. And so even though the score was way closer than we would have liked, you know, metrically, it was a good game and they got the win. And that is what is most important in this hockey game. And, you know, they made up for poor goaltending as well on their end, which is super important too. So it was a fun win. We'll leave it. My heart rate was a little too high there for quite some time, but just overall in the end, it was just nice to finally get one.
It was frustrating until it wasn't.
Yes.
It was really frustrating to be like, no way are we outplaying the heck out of this team and we're about to lose. And then when we were like, oh, we're not going to lose, then it became fun. Yes.
Yes, pretty much. Well, it's frustrating because we saw that domination, because
yeah, 100%.
We were recognizing they're playing so much better and the Blackhawks still the lead. I mean, the Corsi chart I'm looking at right now is crazy. And it's like I said, I mean, the Red Wings had a slight edge in the first period, but there's a second period where you can see, I'll just pull it up, show you guys. And this is just the shot attempts in general. You can see that here in the second period, goodness, it was just straight shot to the Red Wings side. So this was a game where the Red Wings deserve to risk speaking in circles. The Red Wings played better and were rewarded for it. Now, when you talk about individual, should we talk about Robbie Fabry first or should we save that till later?
We can just talk about it now.
Yeah, so if I'm sure you guys already know, but Robbie Fabry left the game, it actually led to the power play or the even strength goal that Radish had. And he went into the corner and was trying to protect the puck, saw a hit coming, tried to spin away, and in the process of spinning away, he took a knee to the back of the knee. And you could see his knee kind of tweak awkwardly. And he immediately was in clear pain and limped off the ice, and he was being gentle with his knee. And I feel for this guy so much. And I really hope it's not what, I mean, everyone's mind went to the same place immediately. Whenever you see Robbie Fabry limping and having trouble putting weight on a knee, because if he, I would feel gutted for the man if he tore his ACL for the fourth time in his career. That would just, especially because every single time he starts to get going, it seems to happen to him. So he did not return. And as of right now, because you're recording right after the game ended, I'm pulling for him. We don't know what's happened, but I'm pulling for him that it's just like a sprain, you know, like it's just a sprain.
Yeah. No, it sucks. It really sucks. That was a tough visual there of him kind of hobbling off the ice. Yeah. We don't know anything at currently in our reality, 10:30 ish. After the game on Wednesday night. So we don't know, but hopefully by the time you're listening to this, you, the listener, have heard good news, because it's definitely a scary, scary and very unfortunate thing.
Yeah, it really is. Why don't we go to a little bit of an early break? And then when we come back, we can kind of get into the players that shined in this game. And there were a lot. I mean, I'm going to pull up the hockey stat card and you guys are going to be, it'll really reinforce how much this team dominated this hockey game. Cause Scotty basically, he said an expletive when I showed him before we started recording. That's how crazy Red Wings dominated this one analytically. But first I got to talk to you guys today about FanDuel. It's the midway point of the NBA season. And now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and easy to use. You can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Now, Scotty, I was telling you a little bit before we recorded, there's only three NHL games today. And normally I don't do this because I really didn't like any of these NHL games. But I was just like, you know what? I'm going to just put a little bit of money down and parlay the three games together. I took Minnesota Wild plus odds on the road in Winnipeg. I took Detroit home, heavy home favorites. And I took Anaheim on the road with plus odds at Vancouver. I got two out of three so far. And I know the Anaheim one is a Hail Mary, but those plus odds were too sexy to pass up. And I was like, you know what? John Gibson's on a tear. I know they gave up a lot of shots tonight. Vancouver's got the worst goaltending in the league. Anaheim might pull something out with Trevor Zegras. So let's see what can happen. And
it'd
I parlay
really
those
funny when
together.
They lose like 6-1 and everybody into this is listening on Thursday and knows that it blew up.
As of right now, I'm riding high because I got two out of three correct. So let's ride. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockdown. That's FanDuel.com/lockdown to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. There was no clean transition back into the read, so I just went with it.
The transition was awful. And then
there was no transition.
Part of the read about the parlay. I understand the difference between the same game and the I'm just saying it's objectively funny that your transition was just let me talk about parlays again.
FanDuel.com/lockdown. Segment two, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. We're talking about the 4-3 win over the Blackhawks, breaking the 6-game losing streak that the Red Wings were having. Who do you want to talk about first, Scotty? I mean, every single player on this team contributed positively in this game, pretty much.
Yeah, big time. Let's start with Larks, man. I thought Larkin had a fantastic game. Obviously had the penalty shot that he could not put in the back of the net, but which seems to be a thing. Like, shootouts, penalty shots this year has not been a strong – I mean, unless I'm just, like, totally blanking on, like, memory-wise, I feel like every – kind of shootout type of moment like that, I remember him, and he hasn't been too successful. Regardless, we're talking about positives. And on the you know, in gameplay in this one, he looked phenomenal. He was everywhere, and yeah, obviously was on the receiving end of a beautiful pass to put the puck in the back of the net there. I thought he had a fantastic game.
Yeah, he really did. And I mean, it's reflective in pretty much every analytic out there as well. I mean, you watch the eye test. He was flying out there. He looked like
the
captain.
Literally everywhere.
And that goal was his 60th point on the season. It's the fourth time in his career he's hit 60 points or better. And he is now just 13 points behind, tying his career high, 14 behind breaking it. And he has, let's see, that was the 63rd game of the year. So he has approximately 19 games to get 14 points and snap it, break a new career high. I'm assuming he stays healthy. I don't see any reason why he doesn't. He's been playing about a point per game since the All-Star break ended. So I think he's well on his way to achieving that goal. And that was his 24th goal of the season. So we might see another 30-goal season out of him. That'd be his third 30-goal season and second straight 30-goal season. So let's just hope that he continues to play hot, because he's really, you know, every single year he's pretty much a bright spot for this hockey team. So let's hope he continues to be. Like you said, Scotty, he's been everywhere. I mean, I'll pull up the hockey stat card. I'll really let you guys know, but you know, you look at individual expected goals for percentage. Dylan Larkin led the team at even strength, a 97.4 expected goals for percentage. He was insane in this game. And I think what's more impressive over his expected goals for was his expected goals against. This is how good. I mean, we talk so much about his production, and I mean, we do mention that he's a really good two-way forward as well, two-way center. His expected goals against was 0.04. There was no one on the team better at expected goals against when he was on, like, on the team, not even defensemen who, you know, would think that would be their forte. 0.04. That's pretty damn good.
And a great game, man. Yeah. He, making his presence felt all over the place, but really well, I mean, just watching the game, he was everywhere. That was the most prominent thing to me.
You know who was second on the Red Wings and expected goals against in this game with a 0.05?
I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Is it Robert Haig?
No.
Oh.
Sorry, buddy.
You need to respect Robert Haig. Lucas Raymond. Is it Razor?
Yes. I just said it, but you were talking, so you didn't hear me.
Oh, yeah. I like doing that.
It's all good. Yes, Lucas
Raymond. Yeah, Raymond had a great game.
Raymond had a great game. He had expected goals against of 0.05, an overall expected goals for percentage of 97.25, the second best on the team. He had the second best Corsi for percentage as well, if you want to just look at raw shot attempts. And then relative, you know, he was up there as well. And that's just, you know, it's one good game. And I understand that I don't want to use the term that everybody uses and players in their second year, but I understand that this year, production-wise, has been a step back. And he was hot for a little while in the middle of the season, and he's cooled off again. And I've seen a lot of criticism of Lucas Raymond in the comments. And, you know, some of it, honestly, just based on his play this season, some of it is a little bit justified. I do think He does get bullied a little bit in corners because he's slightly undersized. I understand that. I think defensively he could improve. But in this game, he had a really strong defensive game in 17 minutes of even strength play. In fact, did that lead the team in even strength play for forwards? I think it did. I'm looking at it right now. Dylan Larkin only had 16 and a half. Lucas Raymond had almost 18 minutes, 17:57 of 5-on-5 ice time. I think that led all forwards. And he had expected goals against a 0.05 and a goal. So like that was very much a game Lucas Raymond needed to have to build confidence. So take that, haters, I guess. I don't know. It was one game. I understand that, but it was a really good game from Lucas Raymond.
No, he had a great game, man. Even besides the goal, too, he had a couple of opportunities. He had the one where he – beautiful goal-scoring opportunity that he kind of set up himself, but had a hooking call right in front of the net.
Are you talking about the one that
stopped that one in its tracks? But, yeah, no, he had a great game, was skating really well as well.
Are you talking about the one that drew the penalty where Lucas or Dylan Larkin scored right after?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another example of how he contributed in this game. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many guys to go over. Gustav Lindstrom and Robert Haig.
When are you going to respect Robert Haig is my question.
Okay, so Gustav Lindstrom
respect
was
the king, dude.
He was fourth best on the team at Corsi 4, expected goals 4. People probably rolling their eyes and bringing that up. But look at the hockey stat card from tonight's game. First of all, I teased this, and it's insane for the entire team, but look at the top two guys.
Yeah, respect Robert Haig, dude.
How is it that Robert Haig and Gustav Lindstrom, and this is Hockey Stat Cards, which is powered by Natural Stat Trick and Dom from The Athletic. How is Robert Haig and Gustav Lindstrom the two best players on the team list last night?
Robert Haig's been at the top, like toward the top of this list, two of the last three games,
which is crazy because like for the bulk of the season, he hasn't really been. Same with Gustav Lindstrom. I mean, this again, just one game, and you're playing against the Blackhawks. But Gustav Lindstrom and Robert Haig have been like eighth or ninth D-men at best throughout this entire season, and not looked great.
Respect Robert Haig, dude. That's all I'm saying.
You're killing me. But yeah, I mean, it's just good, and I also understand. I believe that Hockey Stat Cards takes in all ice time, so it might include power play and penalty kill, although I don't think Robert Haig and Gustav Lindstrom are getting any special teams time. I'd have to double check on that one. But
look at how dominant of a win this is.
I know. Only
hey, look at that. Only, like literally almost every single facet of the game for every single player is positive. Like you can count on Lucas one hand the negative attributes.
Yeah. It's great, and I'm glad to see, and I understand, again, Haig and Lindstrom have limited ice time in comparison. Lindstrom had 14 minutes, and Haig had 15 minutes at even strength, and as far as defense goes, that's, you know, not as much, but it's great to see. But I think we're burying the lead here, Scotty. I think we're burying the lead here.
Husso?
No.
Oh, pause. Wallman.
That's a good one, but not it. He genuinely doesn't know, guys. I didn't tell him before we recorded. I'm waiting for him to guess it.
Robert Haig?
I'll give you a hint. He's the best number 48 in Red Wings history.
All right. That's cool, man. No, that's cool, dude. That was a beautiful pass, though, for real. What
I know
play.
You hate the Corey Emerton slander, man. I know you hate the Corey Emerton slander.
Yeah, it's a really fun conversation for me. But that was an incredible pass. And, like, his whole story is great. Like, you know, trying to just how much he appreciates and cares about, like, the opportunity to play NHL hockey is super cool. So, yeah. Yeah, very, very cool. And an absolutely beautiful pass that was like sports, like on SportsCenter, like ESPN was like talking about it and everything. Like national media picked up that pass and deservedly so.
And that's only one of the two assists he had in this game as well.
He had two assists in the same period.
Yeah, he had two assists. He assisted on Wallman's goal, right? Wallman's? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he assisted on Dylan Larkin's goal as well. And you know, he was third on the team. And this one you have to take with a large grain of salt. But he was third on the team in expected goals, 4% at 96.43. But the reason I say you have to take this large grain of salt is he only played 6 minutes at even strength, which is I almost wonder if Natural Stat Trick has this registered wrong. Let me look at ESPN. I got to double check on that. There's no way he only played Chiasson only played 8 minutes in the entire game, and a minute and a half of that was on power play where he got a between the legs assist. So right. you sign him to an NHL contract, called him up, have him play 5 minutes at even strength, and then 2 minutes on the power play, and he gets 2 assists in the game.
And he dominated. Like, yeah, respect.
That's making the most out of your minutes, if you ask me.
Absolutely. Dang right.
That's pretty incredible. So did he get hurt? Like, did I miss him getting injured? That's crazy. Only had 8 minutes in this game. The only player who played less was Fabry, who got hurt. I don't remember him getting hurt. Did they really only just give him 8 minutes? And in that 8 minutes, he got 2 assists, one of them on the power play?
Respect, baby.
Respect him, I guess, man. That's crazy. All right. But when we come back, we'll talk about Jake Walman as he gets on the board as well. And then Dominic Kubalik, who, like everyone, had a good game. So stay tuned to Lockdown Red Wings. Segment 3, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. How about that Jake Walman guy? Top pair defenseman, eh?
Top pair defenseman, eh? Yeah, he looked great, man. He, I've said it a million times, definitely kind of like a broken record at this point, but easily one of the biggest positive storylines of the entire season. If you're talking about individual players, might honestly be the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, I think early in the season, before he came back, the story was Husso, but I think since he's come back, he has been the story. I mean, what he has done coming off of injury, climbing his way to the top pair, and then dominating from there. First of all, that shake and bake move he has at the blue line works every time.
It's crazy how much it works, dude.
I got a feeling that eventually NHL teams are going to like start predicting that, and he might need to change it up. But so far, pretty much every single time he does it, he cuts to the middle.
It's literally a pump fake, and it's just a beauty.
Well, because how many of his goals come from... he's got like 5 goals on the season, 7 goals on the season, it looks like. And I feel like 5 of those are from that kind of play where he shake and bakes, gets to the middle, and he scores. Now, I do think that the leading goal that the Blackhawks took in the third period did subtly graze off of his stick. I don't know. I thought I saw it look deflect off his stick on the rebound, but I'm not 100% sure. But regardless, I mean, that's just the...
He grazed a post at one point, too. Yeah. He had a great night.
He's been so fun to watch. I love watching Jake Walman play hockey. And then Dominic Kubalik, first of all, we talk about analytically speaking, statistically speaking, this is where I push back against analytics. So, you know, analytically speaking, they say faceoffs don't matter because they say that whether or not you win or lose a faceoff doesn't really impact the overall result of the game, but it impacts who has possession of the puck. And 2 goals were scored in the
third
period.
You'll never convince me that offensive zone faceoffs don't matter. Like,
both goals in the third period were scored off of faceoffs.
Yeah.
That's how important it is. You had the goal by the Blackhawks, the one I was just talking about, the Joey Anderson faceoff win. And then you had the Dominic Kubalik goal for the lead faceoff win. And then Dominic Kubalik did almost the exact same thing 2 more times. He had another shot right there in the slot that just, Stalock made the save and then it just went wide of the net afterwards. I think he missed the net on that one. The second one, he held back on the shot, went past down low, and Stalock made the save on that one. So Dominic Kubalik kind of found his wheelhouse going right there in front of the net. And, you know, here's the thing about Kubalik. He is what he is. And I know that he's gonna score like in bunches, and I know that he's like pure offense, but he has accomplished what you signed him to do, and I would say that he has already like easily been like a win for the Red Wings contract wise. I mean, he's been doing exactly what you want from him. So I even though the lack of defense can be frustrating and the long scoring droughts can be frustrating, I mean, he has now 18 goals this season, and that surpasses his goal totals from the last 2 seasons with the Blackhawks, because he had 17, 15, and 17. He's already...
Where does that put him on the team?
Oh, that's got to put him... Let me double check on that. That's got to put him like third or fourth.
Yeah.
He's second on the team in goals at 18.
Right, what are we talking about? There's literally zero argument that that's not an incredible move. Like, there's zero. Literally, I don't care that... You know, more came before New Year's than after, or whatever. Like, I literally don't care. There's no way you will ever be able to convince me that a dude who you signed for that contract is second on the team in goals in the middle of March.
Do you know Jonathan Berggren has a shooting percentage of 19%?
Dog.
He needs to shoot the puck more. That's what I take away from that. But yeah, I mean, he's second on the team in goals scored, and it's the second highest goal total he's had in his entire career outside of his Calder finalist season with 30. And right. He could easily, with 19 games left, he could easily pass 20, maybe get to 23. And we were talking, what were we saying when we were doing preseason predictions? I think we said if he ended
with 15 to 20, that would have been a huge win.
And he's probably going to cross 20 this season if he just gets a couple more.
The whole thing with him is just like, ideally, you want Kubalik to be like in your bottom six because he can get shots on net, or at least shot attempts, I guess I'll say, like provide shot attempts to your bottom six, which is super valuable. And like lately he's been doing a lot more of that. But at one point earlier this year, like we forget that he was literally playing top line minutes at one point when the depth kind of went out the window. So,
and that being said, Lucas Raymond, for all his struggles this season, he's still fourth on the team in goals. And he's still, now that Phil Peronic's gone, he's fourth on the team in total points as well. Yeah. So, I mean, I know his production is down this year, but he's still one of the most productive players on this hockey team with now 16 goals. Now, I don't know if he'll get up to 23 goals like he did last season. The real area where his production has fallen off is his assists. He had 34 last season in 82 games, and he's only got 18 this season. So his passing game seems to be where he's suffering the most, but he's scoring goals still. It's just, he's been a little bit more hot and cold this season. So that's
for sure.
I'm rambling at this point, Scotty, but hey, you know what was rocking today was LCA 98% attendance rate for a Wednesday game.
People hate the Blackhawks.
All my homies hate the Blackhawks. That's all I gotta say.
This city, if there's one thing about this fan base, it's they will get riled up over the downfall of the Chicago Blackhawks. That's for sure.
Let's see. Ben Chiarot also had his 100th career assist in this game. I was shocked when I saw it was just his 100th, considering he's over 30 years old, but that's just not his style of game. So I can kind of understand that after, you know, I was a little taken aback at first, but congratulations to Ben Chiarot and getting number 100 triple digits now in the assist category for the big bruiser. Yep. And, you know, I can actually say this with confidence. He had a good game because everyone did.
Everyone did.
Let's see. What Scotty. Other
Larkin, 60 points. We talked about that. I guess that's kind
of
it.
Yeah. I mean, it was just overall a good game. I would argue Husso had a pretty bad game. Outside of that, though, I would say that the team played well.
He had a bad period.
Yeah.
Like the first period, like objectively, like that did not go very well. And there was definitely at least one super soft goal. I don't know.
The Radish second goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any final thoughts? You got anything else, man? It's only at 28 minutes, but. You're stupid.
I don't think so. We ball.
You do ball. You know what? How about this? Well, you want to do a quick how do you feel about it? I know it's not Friday, but we haven't done one in so long. And
yeah, we can do a how you feel about it Thursday, dude.
Yeah, how do you feel about it? Scotty, how do you feel about The Last of Us television show?
You're going to expose me to all these people. I have not watched it yet. But I played the game.
Me too.
And it was awesome. And I have heard all of my friends give me a ton of heat for not having watched the show because it's so great. So I have nothing bad to say about it. And I know that it's phenomenal because literally everyone just talks about how great it is. And I did love the game and play the game. But I have not watched a single second of the show yet.
Well, when you get around to it, you'll heavily enjoy it. I've been liking it a lot. I think it is the perfect adaptation to showcase the people who didn't play the game so they can experience the story. They've been very faithful about it, and the additions they have made have been very good.
I've heard that it's like one of the best renditions of a video game onto like the screen, you know,
well,
like ever.
It's hard to mess it up when the game itself was basically a movie.
Correct. And a phenomenal one at that.
Yeah, exactly. So that game 100%. Was very, very straightforward.
Yeah, agreed. How do you feel? Do you have an opinion on the World Baseball Classic?
It's baseball, baby.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I was genuinely wondering if you did or didn't.
I honest to God, Scott, I don't know how it's viewed, like, here in America, in terms of like how important do people view it? Is it like a big deal, or is it kind of just like a fun tournament?
No, so the history of it's kind of fascinating, honestly. It's not that old. It really kind of just picked up in like the 90s, at least like legitimately. And for a while there, it was kind of like a niche thing where you didn't have, I don't know, it was kind of like the dunk contest in the NBA where like it had waves. Like sometimes a lot of people would participate and then sometimes like not very many people would. And this year, because COVID kind of took away the last one, it's been all this 2017 was the most recent one, and usually it's every 4 years. So this is like a really heavily marketed and like really big one, just because it's been, you know, 6-7 years since the last one. So a lot of like the best players are actually playing, and the lineups are really cool, and you're seeing all the stars and stuff like that. So USA plays Great Britain this weekend. They should absolutely obliterate them. USA has probably the second best roster in the entire planet, and second Great best? Britain, I don't think, has a single MLB player on it. So it shouldn't be close, but So
who's
that's
the first best?
Sorry?
Who's the first best?
The Dominican Republic is absolutely just incredible. So they're, yeah, and they always are. They have a phenomenal team. Like if you look at their lineup, it's literally just like six of the favorites to win MVP. Like it's like all in their lineup. It's ridiculous. The USA really good team as well, for sure. Like definitely up there. I think the presumed championship would be USA versus the DR, but there's a lot of good teams. Puerto Rico is really good. Venezuela is decent. Netherlands, Kingdom of Netherlands is low key kind of nice. It's really fun. I love it, but I'm a baseball nerd. So I was just wondering how someone who might not be as nerdy as me on the subject viewed it. That's all.
I have a question.
Yes.
So Team Japan obviously has Shohei Ohtani, and Japan does produce quite a bit of MLB players.
Yeah, they're nice.
Where are they ranking in the power rankings? I know it's mostly like USA and then like Central.
No, they're up there, dude. They're really up there. They won it two or three WBCs cycles ago. They won it. So the cool thing about Team Japan is you're basically looking into like the future guys that are eventually going to play in the MLB for a lot of them, like because it's, I don't want to like just turn this into like a baseball show, but like they have a rule where so that the MLB can't just like poach all of the Japanese players like whenever they want. They have a rule where if you are born in Japan and play in the NPB, the Japanese league, you have to play there for 5 years before you can be posted and like be a free agent. And there's ways around it. Like Ohtani came over at 20. Like there is ways around it, but for the most part, you have to play 5 years. So you're getting a lot of dudes that are like, oh, this dude has the potential to be playing, you know, for the whatever Padres or whatever in like 2 years. Like this dude is going to be a free agent available to sign in like 3 years. Like, so it that's a very, very good team. Japan, it's not like MLB players, but that doesn't mean it's not MLB caliber players. That's the difference. So definitely high up there as well, for sure.
Awesome. I'm trying to think if I had another quick one, but I don't think I do. I think
I don't know either, man.
It's a big pop culture.
I'm about to like finish this recording and then go watch the WBC. That's the only reason it popped into my head. I genuinely can't think of anything else.
How do you feel about this ongoing Twitter feud with Sens fans that I keep seeing everywhere?
I have no, honestly, I'm going to be honest. I'm I don't want to go down a rabbit hole that I didn't intend on going on. I am trying to use social media so much less. I haven't even noticed, to be honest.
I'm just trying to dodge the drama. I'm like, not worth it. Not worth
right.
It.
That's not exactly. Worth it. Yeah, me too. I'm just, there is, I've seen a lot of arguments and stuff within, on my little bit of time on there for sure.
But I understand it, but it's just not worth it.
It's not going anywhere either. Like both of these teams are presumably on the rise at the same time and are in the same division. Like it's not going to go away.
Just you're not going to win. No one wins Twitter arguments. That's just not how it works.
Correct.
So don't do it, guys. It's better. You're better served to leave it alone is what I've learned.
I'm sure that'll solve it.
I've solved Twitter drama, guys.
That's crazy, dude. Just don't.
Just don't.
I don't know why we don't do that with like everything bad in the world. Like just don't, dude.
Just don't. Quote me on that. Okay. Any final thoughts? Again, for real this time. We ball. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with a couple of game previews because the Red Wings play twice this weekend coming up. I know they play back-to-back with Boston. Is it back-to-back?
Yeah.
Home and home? Am I remembering that?
They play twice.
They play on Saturday at 1. It is back-to-back Boston. It's 1 o'clock in Boston, 1:30 here.
Oh, my goodness. Facing Bertuzzi. In a Bruins jersey. That's going to be tough.
I don't want it. All right. We'll be back same time, same place. It's your team every day.
Every day.